Hi, this is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. I am always excited to be joined by my guests, but today is an extra special treat for me. The man that is our guest today is literally my first mentor, and still today is one of the people I go to for sage wisdom and sound advice. Our guest today is Dr. Donald Joy. Among the many amazing things he's done and all the lives that he's poured himself into, both in the classroom as well as speaking all over the country, Dr. Joy is also a prolific writer. I am blessed, in fact, to have him help me with the editing of my first book, and he also wrote the foreword for it. Today, he's going to give us some insight into finding your own voice when you're writing. And so let's listen in as Dr. Joy gives us some tips. Hi, good morning, Dr. Joy.
Good morning.
It's great to have you here with us. I know over the course of the years you have written a lot of different types of books, articles, many different things. Can you talk to us a little bit about learning how to express yourself through writing so that you sound genuinely like you?
I'll do that because most people, when they start writing, as I did, don't sound like themselves when they write. Nobody would recognize that it was written by that person. And what I've discovered is that I need to be thoroughly familiar with whatever subject I'm writing about. And it's not enough just to sit down and say, well, I'm going to write something. What shall I write about? It's important that you're full of some kind of insight or wisdom that you have just developed over a long period of time. And that has to come through mostly as wisdom. That is, you've put it together in a way that you realize you're not at the same place you were when you started to try to resolve some kind of a problem or some riddle that was out there that was bothering you. And the other thing I have discovered is that I doubt that anyone can write unless they really have established significant friendships and they have talked with their friends candidly, and they have made enough friends that are close enough to them that those friends really know their own history and their own identity. And it's in that kind of a trust relationship that anyone can find something that they can share that's worthwhile. And whether that's an essay or an email or whatever, that kind of writing is flowing right out of experience and relational experience. So relationships and having solved some kind of a riddle, I think, are the first prerequisites for writing anything of importance.
We've said many times when we're coaching clients that all you really need to do is be a step ahead of the person you're helping. In other words, you don't have to reach the end. I think sometimes we want to be the pro at something before we write it, but sometimes it's just a little storm that we've gone through or something like that that can be as much or even sometimes more so helpful to people than to have gotten to a place in our life where, you know, we have it all together, as it were. Would you say that is valid in all forms of writing, that it's just about expressing what you've been through and what you learned through coming through it?
Yes, I would. I would, in the way that you're describing it, that having a question to ask is important, but we need to do that orally somewhere and really, really have worked through it orally before we try to work through it in a manuscript. That is, we need friends that we've laid it out for.
Yeah, that's really important. I think often when we work from home, it's easy to get stuck in a bubble and not realize how important the people around us are. But I think that's a really great piece of advice to be able to really reach out and connect with people. And I'd love to hear more from you about how that connection that we have with people helps us be able to sound as genuinely like ourselves as possible.
Well, it's important that none of us become isolated. Sometimes if our marriage or our family is going through a crisis, we tend to isolate ourselves from everybody and put up a facade. And somewhere there have got to be some folks that you can just level with and say, look what's going on in our marriage or in our family or in our business. And that may be a calamity, but that needs to be shared in order to develop any language about it. Because if you're not processing it with some trusted folks, then it's not going to ever be coherent to anybody.
Wow. I had never really thought about it from that standpoint.
But there is a tendency to go silent and to isolate. If you've been hurt at church or at school or in the workplace, then we tend to just draw back. And so families sometimes become really diseased because they have not maintained a candid contact with a few people around them. Because we're human beings. We're created in the image of God, and we are created for relationships. The Holy Trinity lives in relationship, and we are created to be Trinitarian in that sense, that we really need a kind of a two- or three-way connection with other people.
Well, and if, I guess I'd never really thought about it's always amazing to me just how practical the things that seem so spiritual really are in our day-to-day lives to get us, you know, not only through the day, but to the next level in who we are as a person. You know, I think sometimes we think of those kind of things and we tend to place things of our spiritual life off in its own little box. Do you know what I mean by that?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's some other things going on in social media today that are very brief, you know, just the Twitter kinds of things. I imagine that those are keeping people from ever leveling with anyone else as you would face-to-face or confidentially by email or something like that, where you can go ahead and spread stuff out and be thorough in what you're trying to report is going on so that you get some reflection back. But there may be a pattern going on in our culture today that is isolating people, and they think that they are in a Facebook, for example, is probably a facade book. People are not revealing there exactly who they are. They would not do that on Facebook. That's for the public. It's not a place where you're going to really grow or where you can get any kind of reflective interaction with your friends even. They're not going to come back in there because everything knows that you can't ever erase it, and it's going to always be out there. So you need trusted people to talk to.
I think that's really important that we realize that no matter what we're doing in our work life, no matter what our home life is like, that we need in people in our lives that are empowering us to be the best version of ourselves. As you've all heard me say many times over, you were created uniquely brilliant for a purpose. You're not just an accident. You didn't just accidentally end up here one day because of circumstance or something like that. You were made for a purpose. And the best thing you can do in life is to fulfill that purpose. And it's not going to happen if you're isolated. You know, to quote a Bible phrase, to hide your light under a bushel. I mean, the worst part of hiding yourself is that whole, you know, being isolated and only contacting with people on a 140 character level, such as you know, is what Twitter is. And you can get some good messaging out to people, but you're not going to really develop a relationship, go deep, as the saying is, with a person when you only got 140 character limit. I mean, seriously, how deep can you really get with a person when you got to try to squeeze it all into 140 characters? So we need to take our first break here. We will be back in just a couple of minutes. We're going to talk in more detail with Dr. Joy about how we can develop our unique voice and let the unique, genuine us come across to the people who are reading whatever we write and what we have to say. We'll be right back.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com. That's managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Hi, this is Steve Kidd, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant, created for a purpose. The world needs you, and we want to help. I work with my wife, Kathy, and together we form the business development super team, Thrive Business Development. We are here to provide you with well-researched business strategies and empowered, step-by-step, courageous coaching to help you avoid overwhelm and break through to the next level of your business. Just for listening to the show, we want to give you a free gift. All you have to do is email steve@wehelpyouthrive.com. We will help you get a free gift and access to specials from all of our guests. That's steve@wehelpyouthrive.com. Let us help you be a thriving entrepreneur today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve, and I'm joined today with my guest, Dr. Joy, and he's been talking to us from his experience of all the books he's written, how to be able to develop our unique writing voice, and how to then express the uniqueness that is you through your writing. In the last segment, we were talking about something that I found really interesting, and that's the fact that to really truly develop you, as it were, in your writing, you have to actually be connected to other people. It's not about how much time can you spend in front of the computer or a notepad writing down your thoughts and feelings. It actually has to do with the communication and interaction with people that you trust, that you can be genuine with, that helps you then be able to express in writing how you really truly are feeling and how you came through something. I really appreciated that insight, Dr. Joy. I never really realized how impactful our relationships with others were on something that seems so isolated as what writing at least feels like it is when you're sitting in front of the computer writing. So when we're talking to the people that are around us and we have a breakthrough, is the best time to sit down and write that, like right immediately after we have that discovery, or is it better to kind of let it, grow inside of you a little bit and then sit down and write it? Which way is better?
Well, often you'll have a sense that suddenly something has made sense to you, and it's important to capture that in some form. I sit down at the computer sometimes and just start making me a note, and I don't even know what to call it. But I'll make a document and give it a name so that I can just capture something that is a pearl that's come out of some pain or suffering, or somebody else is talking to me about what they're going through, and I suddenly see through it. I'm an introvert, so even when I'm sitting with someone who intentionally starts a conversation with me, I often say, you know, I'm going to listen, and I'm not even going to take any notes because I want to really pay close attention to you. And I will try not to interrupt you, but I will begin to clarify and ask you maybe to fill in some detail. And when I can do that, I start getting some sense that there's a role I can play. And in that one-on-one conversation I'm having with someone, I want to be sure I do not push an agenda that is mine on them. So in figuring out how you're going to write, it's important to have some experience like that. I think it's a good principle that you will never make a good writer unless you can be a good listener and listen to the challenges that other people are facing. And that lets you then, as you write, anticipate that and collect. You don't tell these people's story in what you write, but at least you've gained wisdom from that so that you can hypothesize. And you can say, for example, you may have and when you're writing, I write in a voice that's personal. I finally found that that's more who I am than the kind of stilted English that I was writing if I just thought I was going to write an essay or a book. And I learned it. I had a wonderful teacher my first year at Central Christian College in McPherson, Kansas. And President Miller was the new president. And he had found this woman in retirement in Texas and persuaded her to come and teach at Central College. And her name was Mildred Myhills Owens. And every morning in English 101, every Monday morning when I would go to my class, it met three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And so on Monday morning, there would be a wise saying up on the board, in the upper right-hand corner of the chalkboard. And I would read those things, and most of them I wrote down in my notes for that day. I took notes, and so I dated my notebook, and I would just start it out with that. And I found that she had lived long enough that she was a person of wisdom. And when she gave us an assignment, an early assignment, it was she wanted us to write about a 400-word autobiography. Well, little did I realize that she was going to read everyone's autobiography, you know, this first venture at writing. She was going to read that, and it was going to be within her awareness for the rest of the time she knew me in the more advanced course of the next year. And so I realized here's a woman I can trust. So I was going ahead and telling, I grew up poor, and I it was during the Dust Bowl in western Kansas, and we were malnourished. I was malnourished. Where my ribs meet didn't have the hard bone in there that it was supposed to, because I was malnourished and I had rickets. And a surgeon's son in college just tapped me on the chest, and he said, "My goodness, you don't have that hard piece across there between your ribs." And I said, "Well, I don't know. Am I supposed to have something there?" He said, "That means you've been malnourished sometime in your life." So I just laid out my life for Mildred Myhills Owens, And she gave me feedback and showed value in what I was putting out for her to read. That gave me a lot of courage that I can accept anybody's story, and I don't need to analyze it for them, because I want them to be able to just put it out there between us, so that we both understand that. And that's the voice that I have been writing from throughout all the years. And I wrote a manuscript and sent it off to a publisher and got it rejected. But I could see why afterward, and when they sent it back and rejected it, and I just wrapped it up. I still have it somewhere wrapped up in extra paper, and I just wanted it as a reminder that the first major project I wrote, I got back. But I learned so much from writing that one that I realized I was writing a book about solving problems. And people, I don't think, are wanting to expose that they have problems by picking up a book off of a bookstore shelf and buying it if it's negative. So almost everything I've written has a positive title, and I use a positive voice in it. So I basically want to talk about the upside, and in the process, help them keep them from falling into dejection and negative thinking about themselves. So that's the kind of a voice I've developed. And it shows up all the time. So if someone contacts me on email, boy, I pay a lot of attention to the person, and often I hear from people I have never met, but they have heard that I sometimes consult with people, and they'll ask, you know, could I give them some advice? Here's what they're into, and so I can work with them from a voice that assumes that they are in charge, and I'm not the one who's going to solve their problem. But if they can lay out what it is that they're facing right now, I'll walk around with them and see if we can find any wiggle room for them to start finding a way of mending what has got them paralyzed right now. So that's the kind of a voice I've found myself going to, because of you know, all of us are. I like the who is it said, man is born broken, he spends his life mending, the grace of God is the glue, and we are all broken, and we are spending our lives mending, and it's the grace of God that is the glue. And so that is common ground, and so I'm glad to come alongside anyone and walk around their stuff with them. And I like to do that in anything I write. So most all of my books that I have written has a section of questions at the end of a chapter, and they're questions that I have heard from people, and I just want to comment specifically on it at the end of the chapter. And those are little anecdotes that I've collected from listening to folks. And I don't quote people, and I don't name names, but I do that in order to give that sense that we can talk about anything here. This is, but it's not a book about problems. It's a book that can face problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. People are so much more interested in solutions than they are to wallowing in their misery. And
yeah.
I think that's good. You know,
they need hope.
I think
they need hope that there's something they can do.
I think we all are very well and in touch with the darkness that's within us that we want to overcome. We don't really need somebody to help us dig deeply into that without there being a way out. You know, to just have an introspective article that leaves you feeling awful and wanting would not a good way to express ourselves. I mean, that's one of the reasons in fiction authors why my two favorites are C.S. Lewis and Terry Brooks is because even though they're writing stories, it's like even while they're writing, they don't forget that there is actually a reader that's reading it, and they will oftentimes address the reader, sometimes even directly. I remember in Terry Brooks' book that he wrote, Hook, the last chapter, he literally starts the last chapter by saying, for those of you who haven't understood what I've written so far, you can just go ahead and skip this last chapter because it won't mean anything to you anyway. And that always
that's good.
That always cracks me up because you know, it's not a nonfiction self-help book, and yet even in that setting he draws the reader in and says, oh yeah, I know that you're there. I'm going through this journey with you. And so even in a fiction standpoint, I personally at least really like feeling in tune with the writer. And I think just before we go into the break, I'd like to point out one of the things that you said that I think just makes so much sense, and I'd like people to think about during the break, and that's that you need to be genuine. You have to let who you are out. If you're pretending to be somebody that you aren't, it's really hard to really write in somebody else's voice. That their story is not your story, and you can't really tell their story because you haven't really lived it. But you have lived your own story, and when you own up to it and you be genuine with it, it can really come out, and it can impact not only other people's lives, but it can actually also impact yourself as you go through that writing process. So I'd like to encourage you during this break to think a little bit about what it means to really give yourself permission to allow the genuine you to come out. And we will be back in just a minute.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Hi, this is Steve Kidd, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant, created for a purpose. The world needs you, and we want to help. I work with my wife, Kathy, and together we form the business development super team, Thrive Business Development. We are here to provide you with well-researched business strategies and empowered step-by-step courageous coaching to help you avoid overwhelm and break through to the next level of your business. Just for listening to the show, we want to give you a free gift. All you have to do is email steve@wehelpyouthrive.com. We will help you get a free gift and access to specials from all of our guests. That's Steve at WeHelpYouThrive.com. Let us help you be a thriving entrepreneur today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
Hi, this is Steve. Welcome back. I'm here today with Dr. Joy, and we've been talking about developing your unique writing voice in your business. And I think it's so important to reiterate what we brought up in the last segment, and that's the fact that you are unique and you need to speak with your genuine voice. You need to bring out the real you. Don't try to tell somebody else's story. Be willing to share who you really are to people. And I think that leads us really well into what I'd like to talk to you about this segment, Dr. Joy. And that's the whole concept of you sit down in front of a piece of paper or a blank computer screen, and you're wondering in your mind, okay, what am I going to write? And so if you could help us,
That's the last thing on earth I would do.
Oh, yeah. You know, the computer just stays there, and it just stays blank for days,
yeah.
weeks, months, yeah. you know. And so you had mentioned in the last segment, and I wanted to kind of tie us back to that, that when a pearl of wisdom comes your way or something comes out of a conversation with somebody, you sit down and you make yourself some notes. And so if you could expand on that a little bit more, do you just kind of have a collection of notes on this is something I might write about someday, and then as enough of them collect up, that's...
I tell you what I do. You were never one of my students. Your parents were both students with me. But I hear from a lot of students, and they will ask, you know, is there any new word from research or from scripture beyond what you were teaching, you know, back in the time that I was a student with you? And so... That's enough for me to sit down and begin a summary of where I am today on that issue that they've raised. And it takes me into science. I take the creation very seriously, and that's basically what science is looking at. It's reported in many different ways, and but the raw material of all science is from the creation. So that's where I would begin, and so I get some kind of a scientific basis and update that, and I put the scripture out that I understand more fully now than I did 20 years before or 10 years before. And then I would just begin to unpack some possibilities, because I work with just a kind of a template in responding to someone and say, well, you know, let's just assume that there are three different choices you might have to make right now about all of this, and I will lay them out. And I don't know what all three of them are when I start, but I just realize that when you walk around a question or a challenge, there are probably more than one response. Your first response could be three different things. And so I'll detail some of that. Well, at any rate, when I finish that document, I don't put the person's name on it. It's so that I can keep it in a Word file, and so I put the date on it, and so that's the date it was written. All right, now I'm going to come back to that same document probably a half a dozen times in the next 3 or 4 years, and I will go over it again. And it's amazing how those things grow. And how my understanding of them grows. So what I try to write about in these brief essays, I call them essays, And I have a special file for those in my Word document file. And so I can go to those and I can look over all of them and see if there's anything close to what the present person is facing. And sometimes I can say, I'm going to send you an earlier reflection I wrote, and along with that, I've made some addition. And so I'll put another new date down at the bottom line, so that if you looked at one of those, you can tell how many times I've modified it. And so those dates are all down at the bottom. So that probably dictates now. I'm 86 years old. And so I've been doing this now since the early 90s, because I was hearing back from students I'd had in the 70s and 80s. And so I started this pattern of just dealing with kind of the cutting edge. So that's how I get my prompts to what I'm going to write about. Now, occasionally... I've never written anything for publication, but it would be a good plan, I think, for anyone who is at the other end of their productive career to just go back and review those and see where there may be some kind of a pamphlet or a brochure that you could put together and put it out there for other people. So that they could use it, but I'm not interested in publishing right now. So that's where I'm working, and that's how I decide what to write about.
Yeah, that's great. We encourage our clients actually to realize how impactful the work that they've done, the things they've written. Even we were kind of a little harsh on Twitter and Facebook. There is some use to those. At times, and even some of those kind of things can come together, or if we're doing our business correctly, should come together to develop an actual message that is bigger than just a post or just an email to somebody or just a newsletter that we wrote. It often, I love how you said that, where you collect them together, you put dates on them. And I liked the part where you keep realizing how often you're going back to the same subject, and I think that's really good to really think about an issue and then look at it and think what is another way that I could get this message out to people, or what are 20 or 30 things that I've said to 20 or 30 different people that maybe should all come together and be a long article or a short book or depending, maybe a really long book. I know you were involved in the process a little bit. I know when I started writing my first book, it started out as 10 little tips. They're going to be like 10 paragraphs.
That's right. I remember, yeah.
And it's about 110 pages.
Right.
So, it's fun to watch those things grow. And I just want to tie back around, because I think that really speaks well to what you said earlier. And that's the fact that it's that connection with other people that really brings what you're trying to say to light. I almost wonder sometimes if it wouldn't be a good idea for people in the modern era, if we want to call it that, to take a look back at what have I said on Facebook? What have I said on Twitter? And I'm not talking about the crazy things like, hey, today I had such and such for breakfast. But, the insightful times that we do have, even in social media, and see if a pattern might be arising from that. I can really see where that could be very helpful in a modern Twitter, Facebook, quick conversation culture, where you could find that, you're saying the same thing.
Well, and there are many people who are using Facebook to write the kind of their personal conviction documents, and they're writing daily kinds of reflections. So Facebook especially is being used as a tool for communicating with an audience.
I think that's a really good suggestion. I think if people will make habit of, whether it be Facebook or it be journaling, of getting down in writing the things that you're learning and the questions that you're asking as well as answering, is a good way of being able to then look back and see. I think you probably would agree that it's amazing during a period of our life how often the same thing keeps coming back up. And so I think that's really worthwhile to make notes of that. What would you say is the longest you've ever gone in one of those processes, from the germination of an idea to it actually showing up in some form of written form, whether that be a published essay or a book or what have you?
You know, I don't think I have any perspective on that. I think it's important just to keep your own file, even of what you have on Facebook or something like that. Keep a file of those things because they're worth reflecting on over time. Because it takes time to decide what needs to become a larger project.
So I'm going to leave everybody actually with that going into the break to realize and to let yourself, give yourself permission that it's okay that if you've had this idea and you've got some notes around it, but it hasn't really grown into a full-blown piece of literature, that's okay. That the time and the process is not only good, but it may be good for you. I've heard many, many pastors say that oftentimes the sermon that they're writing is really just for themselves, and then they speak it out to other people and let them hear it. And I would encourage all of you the same thing, that even if that book hasn't blossomed yet, that you can see how much it's helped you and how much you've grown from that. So again, we're going to take one last break here, and then we'll be right back, and Dr. Joy is going to give us a few more tips on really discovering our unique writing voice.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Hi, this is Steve Kidd, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant, created for a purpose. The world needs you, and we want to help. I work with my wife, Kathy, and together we form the business development super team, Thrive Business Development. We are here to provide you with well-researched business strategies and empowered, step-by-step, courageous coaching to help you avoid overwhelm and break through to the next level of your business. Just for listening to the show, we want to give you a free gift. All you have to do is email Steve at wehelp.com. youthrive.com. We will help you get a free gift and access to specials from all of our guests. That's Steve at wehelpyouthrive.com. Let us help you be a thriving entrepreneur today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
Hi, this is Steve, and we're here talking with Dr. Joy about how to find and develop your unique writing voice for your business. There's been so much great stuff that's come up today, and I've really appreciated the time. Dr. Joy, I know that you have a lot of books that you've written, and I think probably the easiest thing would be for people to just go to Amazon.com, and they would look for Dr. Donald M. Joy. Is that the best search way to find your books?
You can do that. Let me give you another website for out-of-print stuff, because I think a lot of my books are still in print, but not all of them are. And that's addall.com, addall.com. And that lets you go drop down to the second part of the template, and where it's for used books. And you just enter my name there, and books by Donald M. Joy, and it'll keep you busy for a couple of hours, just looking over what's there. And those are usually available. And there, Addall does not ship anything. They're just a conglomerate, and so they will be citing who's got it out there. But there are a lot more people than Amazon are out there, and many of them have much better offers than Amazon does. Though Amazon is good, and many of my titles there are very inexpensive. You can often buy them for less than 10 cents, plus shipping. And used books are really worth having if you're building a library.
Yeah, I would encourage all of you to check out those different places, see if you can find some of the stuff that Dr. Joy has written. We're always talking about transformation and having a transformational work within your life. I know throughout the course of my life, there have been many of the books that Dr. Joy has written that speak to both situations I've been through, as well as insightful ways of really understanding who you are, how you were made. I'm always telling people, you were made uniquely brilliant, created for a purpose. And if you'd really like some good scientific, well-researched answers for how are you made, how are you developed, why am I this way, I would encourage you to do some checking around and find some books that Dr. Joy has written and read them. I think you'll be glad you did, and you will find yourself enriched from that experience. So, Dr. Joy, before we let people go today, I always like to give them some kind of tips that they could use immediately, something that they could do to help express themselves in writing right now. What would be the first couple of things that a person could do right now to really begin to express themselves in writing?
Well, it seems to me that that all has to come out of the wisdom that you've gained through some suffering or through some breakthroughs, and especially you've been assisted in that by your interaction with some folks who you really trust, and you've gone over it orally in conversations with them. Because you have to fabricate the language, and that doesn't happen very well just between you and the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to find your structure and the language for anything important to say, and do that, and then you're on your way to a project. And this is a tough time to be writing for a profit because of the changing media, so that I think it'd be hard to find a publisher who is willing to take a new manuscript and advance you royalties on it. Though it may be that you will get a breakthrough and you'll get an offer like that. But I think we're in a very different time. Because of communication, we just communicate so many other ways now than through written published books. So there's you'll find I don't know what the future holds, but it'll be good, and what you have to offer is very needed. So work through it and find the language for it, and get your project going.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, you may need to look into things like self-publishing. It's actually incredible how inexpensive self-publishing actually can be.
Well, especially
Get
a free book from Amazon.com and just ask for the on Amazon on self-publishing with Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will both publish and market your book, and they will put it into Kindle. And most of the time, I'm reading books on Kindle now. I buy very few bound books, but I have a Kindle for my desktop and for my laptop. And so wherever I go, I can open my Kindle reader and read. I'm reading about two books a week, and these are major books at my desktop, and that's a luxury way to read where you have full screen. It's just the right thing for me at this time to do my reading. So and Amazon will publish your book there. So that's a good way to go.
Yeah, that's where we did my first book, and like you said, it's just amazing how easy actually that process is these days, you don't have to necessarily go through the back and forth with with a big publishing company and those kind of expectations that they have from that. But I would encourage you, just as Dr. Joy said early in the conversation, that you want to bounce that stuff off. Don't be an island unto yourself and just pontificate. Get some input from other people. It is actually fun to watch how even a little germ of an idea can grow and develop into something when you interact with other people and you say, hey, what do you think about what I wrote here? And, you might have to have a little bit of thick skin. Because there are times when the people are going to say, well, what you said there really just doesn't make sense, or, you're not really being genuine with what's going on. But I think it's worth it to do that. Dr. Joy, I just would really encourage you to one more time, talk for a minute or two to us about how important our interactions with people are in order to really develop our voice.
Well, the marvelous thing is that if you're have some healthy relationships with other people, those people would be glad to see a chapter of any project you're working on and give you feedback. And don't just work with one person. Find two or three, and you don't need to pit them against each other, but just ask them if they'd be willing to read a chapter. And I think that's the way we got started, Steve. And it's fun. And people have discretionary time. And so if it's if you can attach the digital version of it from your computer and attach the document, then that don't send them a paper document, but send them something where they can do their editorial markings on it and send it back to you. And you get a lot of help from that.
Well, Dr. Joy, I've really appreciated your time today, sharing all of the years of wisdom and experience you've had in all the different writing mediums you've done. Thank you so much for dedicating a little bit of time here with us today to talk about finding our voice. I just really want to leave everybody again with the comment that you made early and several times through it is how important our genuine, unique relationships with people are in our ability to express ourselves as ourselves. I know I'm going to take that with me. It's kind of my aha moment for this particular episode. And I really appreciate you you sharing that with us and giving us of your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And if anybody wants to, I'll take an email at rodojoy, R-O-D-O-J-O-Y, at juno.com. That's my oldest email address, and I still use it. So shoot me any kind of comment you'd like or question. I'll respond to it. Thank you.
I really appreciate that. I would encourage you guys, if you have any questions, I mean, if you want to talk about a gentleman that can speak wisdom into your life, I know that the darkest, worst things that I've gone through, and there have been some of them, when I'm just like, I don't even know where to turn next, that's stereotypically when that email goes out to Dr. Joy, and I'm like, I don't even know what to think on this to begin with. So that is an incredible offer. I would encourage y'all to take advantage of that. I can tell you that Dr. Joy may not be writing books, but he is still a very prolific writer via email, and you will get very insightful answers. I promise you, it's not one of those where it's like, oh, well, that sounds really bad, I'm sorry, you know, or the trite, well, I'll be praying for you and thinking about you. No, I can promise you Dr. Joy will actually speak into your life and give you some insights to help you through what you're going through. And that and others in your life, speaking into your life, is one of the best ways you can become in your own life a thriving entrepreneur. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
Hi, this is Steve Kidd, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant, created for a purpose. The world needs you, and we want to help. I work with my wife, Kathy, and together we form the business development super team, Thrive Business Development. We are here to provide you with well-researched business strategies and empowered, step-by-step, courageous coaching to help you avoid overwhelm and break through to the next level of your business. Just for listening to the show, we want to give you a free gift. All you have to do is email steve@wehelpyouthrive.com. We will help you get a free gift and access to specials from all of our guests. That's steve@wehelpyouthrive.com. Let us help you be a thriving entrepreneur today.